Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The folks that run the Twitter handle of NYNJPA Weather, who are also AMS certified meteorologists.
What do they say?
They say barely an inch.
Huh.
So we're at odds now. The weather experts are at odds. We all agree Saturday is going to be very warm.
Yeah.
50 to 60 degrees. All good.
Yep.
But now we've got a huge debate amongst these meteorologists.
Who's following the European model?
I don't know.
That's a key question. And who's following the American model?
So
I'm siding with the American model.
It's either an inch or a foot.
What do you think it's going to be?
Like, I like my guy, but my guy seems to be,
wrong?
Seems like he's
a quack.
Quack. Not all that trustworthy on the weather.
Wait, your weather guy isn't trustworthy on the weather?
My weather guy's better, I was going to say picking up Italian subs, but the sub he brought me sucked. Also, he's going to get me chocolate chip cookies, though.
Oh, there you go.
Can you put Vincent on the microphone real quick? Maybe he wants to update his prediction of a foot.
Are we still getting a foot, Vincent?
Remember I told you a week ago, we're done with the snow. We're all good.
Yeah.
And then he came in and said, now we're getting a foot of snow on Sunday. So
I did say that.
Yeah. Dr. Vincent Von Vincent, where are you now?
The storm went out to sea. I think we get a trace to 2.5 inches in the city.
A trace to two and a half inches. Which model were you looking at? The European model or the American model? Or was it the Canadian model?
The European model I go by because that's the one that like nailed Superstorm Sandy like 8 days out. So I go by that one.
Oh, geez.
Got it. So you were wrong with your initial prediction of a foot of snow.
Yeah, I was wrong, but weather changes often. So,
everyone that ran out and bought a snowblower, shovel, and salt, you owe them an apology, essentially.
No, because they can use that anyway. Salt's not going to expire.
That's a good spend other people's money. That's
and
fun.
The winter is not over. You may be surprised. It's February 11th.
Yeah, winter's
you act
over.
Like it's April 11th.
Winter
next
is
week,
over.
There might be another big storm as well.
Yes, rain. Rain. We're getting rain next week.
Well, if it's rain, I don't need the salt. I'm okay. Is it icy?
You're okay with snow, but it could be snow.
Okay.
Could be.
Fine. So I apologize for scaring everybody. We are not getting a foot of snow. We are getting a trace to 2 inches.
Are you standing by that's it for the snow?
Oh, yeah, we're done with the
snow. We're done with the snow.
Yeah, winter's over, dude.
It's February 11th.
Not winter is over.
February 11th.
All right, Valentine's Day is on Monday.
That is true.
Which doesn't seem all that fair.
Why?
Oh, because it's after the Super Bowl?
Yeah, like if you're a guy, your focus is on the Super Bowl on Sunday. How many of you are going to forget to get a gift for your girl on Monday?
I already forgot, dude. I got to remind myself.
Like most of you, like, and it's Monday, and you're waking up. Hey, happy Valentine's Day. And she's got a card for you and like a $20 gift certificate to Amazon or something. And you're like, hey, wait till you see what I got you.
And then you figure it out.
I got to go to work, honey, on the way back. Wait till you see what I got you. It's so awesome.
Did you pick something out for your wife yet?
No.
Will you?
Well, now I have to, don't I?
I mean, it's Valentine's Day.
I was thinking about getting her a vacuum.
You give the worst gifts.
No, I think I was getting her a...
You're going to tell her to clean. That's what you do.
I think she was complaining the other day she needs a new vacuum. So I was going to get her one of those Roomba vacuums.
Oh, my God.
It's like it's...
That's not a vacuum. That's a little robot. She doesn't have to do any vacuuming.
Well, she has to set it up and clean it out.
That's all.
When it's full, but... Yeah.
So you're buying yourself a present on Valentine's Day. It's very sweet of you.
No, I just think like a vacuum would be a good gift for her. Possibly a new mop. You know, she's been complaining that, you know, she needs some more palm olive. Another solid gift for Valentine's Day.
Same guy that got your wife like exercise equipment or something?
When we had babies.
When you
Yeah. That's a true story. When my daughter was born, our first kid,
what's wrong with you?
I got her a gym membership. When Sonny was born, I got her a an elliptical. When Lucky was born, I got her a treadmill. And then when Anthony was born, Boomer got her nipple cream and a Peloton. True story.
How did she take those gifts that you got her?
She understood.
She loved it?
She loved it. That's right. Get right back into shape. That's right.
I'm a homemade kind of guy. I'm going to write her a poem, actually.
Oh.
That's what I do.
What are you, 19 years old, trying to get laid for the first time?
I write poems and she loves them.
In crayon?
Yeah.
In construction paper?
You should do like a kidnapper's note.
Yeah.
Like all different size fonts and cutouts from a magazine. Roses are red, violets are blue, where is Spence? You know, that kind of thing. No? Let me hear the poem.
I'm not telling. You want me to give you a past poem? I have them all saved in my documents. I write poems every year for her, yeah.
Once a year she gets a poem?
Yeah.
Instead of a gift?
No, well, sometimes I mix it together. Let me see what
Does your poem say something like, you know I love the Mets, but I love you as much.
Here's my anniversary poem from 2020. Are you ready?
Quickly, please. We had to talk Super Bowl. Everybody.
Count the years. It's now 5. Before that, I was barely alive. The day my baby said I do, she officially became my boo. I will never forget our first look, as sweet as when you're in my nook. Hey, I like that. You're my best friend and partner in life. Forever and ever, you'll be my wife. Together we made a little boy named Jet, and pretty soon another boy we will get. You like that?
I feel like
this one's good. I love that you put up with my obsession of presidents. Someday that list won't be filled with just gents. I was trying to be like
that. Was weak.
Yeah. On this day, let me boast, I without question love you the most. You like that?
That was Valentine's Day. Last year?
Happy 5-year anniversary.
Oh, anniversary.
Happy 5 years, baby. Next year, Europe. Maybe.
Okay.
I like that.
Ends with a little joke.
That's right.
There you go.
We never went to Europe.
No. Well, you knew you weren't going to Europe.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, no, we like to write poems.
Oh,
just say
boy.
It's adorable. Come on.
This guy on Twitter says, I'm the opposite. I thought I was being a good husband. I bought Broadway tickets 3 weeks ago, not realizing that it was the Super Bowl.
Oh,
now
geez.
I can't watch the game even on my phone.
This guy brought... Well, hold on a second.
That's weak.
This guy bought Broadway tickets on Super Sunday thinking, it's not Super Sunday. It's never this late.
Yeah.
It's usually a week earlier.
But he's like, I can't even... Like, tell you, I'm at a restaurant. I can watch on my phone. I'm at a Broadway show.
Wow. I can't even believe they still run Broadway shows during the Super Bowl.
That is great.
I figured
great.
They all shut down. Poor guy.
Anyway, if you have any good vacuum recommendations online, just let me know. Because that's what she's getting this year for Valentine's.
Today's a big sports anniversary. Quickly, want to guess?
Today's a sports anniversary?
Monumental day in sports.
Monumental day
February
in sports.
February 11th. You want me to give you the year? That could help you a little bit.
No, let me think about it.
32 years
today,
ago.
Today.
Today. Anniversary of a monumental in sports.
Monumental. Like, when you say monumental, is it just like it? Let me ask three questions.
Yep.
Three questions.
Yeah, yeah.
Can monumental be defined as a team winning a championship for the first time?
It can be, yeah.
Okay.
This is monumental. There's no debate. You would say, nah, that's monumental.
When you say, I have two more questions.
Yeah.
Monumental.
But it could be a team winning their first championship.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So that would count as monumental?
Mm-hmm.
February. What could have happened in February? The Super Bowl wasn't this late. Okay. Could it be the death of a legendary player?
Of course it could be. That could be monumental.
That would be monumental. Okay. Could it have been the birth of someone legendary?
Sure, could be a birth.
But it's not.
I never said it is.
No, it's an event that happened, clearly.
A monumental event in sports history. I think most of us, I was young.
Go ahead.
But I remember where I was.
Tell me the year.
32 years ago would be 1990.
I got it.
Go ahead.
I got it.
Nail it. Hit me.
I think I got it.
Just see. Maybe you do. I think you do.
This is such a random guess.
By the way, as soon as he says it's a random guess, it's a giveaway that someone told him.
No,
but go ahead.
My dear piece is even in my ear, by the way.
Go ahead.
It's not even in my ear.
Go ahead.
And you can check my Twitter account. It's not in there, too.
Go ahead.
Oh, apparently the Dyson vacuum is a purchase a lot of women like. So I think I'm going to buy her a Dyson vacuum.
Hey, for everybody listening, don't get this for your wife on Valentine's Day.
For Valentine's Day.
Don't do
it. No, I'll put a little heart on it.
Oh, that'll help.
Tyson Douglas.
Bang!
Yeah.
Monumental.
Monumental.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially since Tyson knocked him out first. And you can go back and look at it. The referee slow counted. If you go back and look, Tyson knocks Douglas down, and he's down for a legit 10 count. He gets up at 11. But the referee kept turning around to Tyson and didn't keep counting.
But that's the way the count usually is.
Count starts when you hit the ground.
No, I get that, but
it's
not...
there's another guy on the side who starts the count for you.
Yeah, but it's not like an official number. It's not like a play clock that's on
that's
the scoreboard.
No, that's true.
It's a very...
It's almost like the NFL play clock hit zero and they still snap the ball.
pretty much.
And it was that close. But that's monumental.
Monumental.
Changed the world of boxing forever.
The biggest upset in the history of, I could argue, sports.
You could certainly argue that, yes. Maybe the Jets win was there, too, but yes, you could argue it. Patrick's in New Jersey on the fan. Patrick, how are you?
I'm doing good, fellas. What's going on?
What's up?
Craig, I had a last question, man. I mean, is it Boardwalk Empire, Sopranos, or Peaky Blinders that you named all your kids after? Those are just
Kids were born before all those shows came on, none of it.
Again, but all those shows are based off, gangsters from, how many years
Mickey's named, a cousin of ours said you should use the letter M after a passed away relative. So M just became Mickey. Sonny was always going to be my first son's name no matter what. And that goes back a long time. I love the name Sonny. And I always was going to name my son Sonny. Anthony, Lucky was originally going to be named Sandy because there's a TV show we liked with the main character Sandy. And I held him in my arms. I looked at him, and I said, Sandy. Ugh. I couldn't name him Sandy. It was such a weak name.
You can't do that.
We actually didn't fill out his birth certificate for 10 days after he was born because we didn't have a name.
Wow.
And then we had a dry erase board. We kept writing names on, and I remembered one day there was a former Navy SEAL who wound up doing Diet Coke commercials, and his name was Lucky whatever. You can look it up. Lucky Valance, or whatever his name was. I don't know. And I was like, that dude was a badass. He was a Navy SEAL. Granted, he's now doing DC commercials, but he was a Navy SEAL. I'm naming my son after a Navy SEAL.
That's badass.
That's how Lucky got his name.
That's a badass name.
And then Anthony was, I just always liked the name Anthony. That was all. And he's got the most normal name of all of them.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's my story.
Cute story.
What's the guy's name? Lucky what? Do you have that in front of you?
I'm sorry, what kind of commercial did you say?
He did a Diet Coke commercial, but he was a Navy SEAL prior to becoming, I guess, a model or an actor or whatever the case may be. So, remember the guy that called us earlier and said he rented
Lucky
out?
Lucky Vanos?
Vanos, I said
Vanos. V-A-N-O-U-S?
Yeah, there you go. Lucky Vanos. Badass American hero. Navy SEAL.
That is kind of a cool name.
That's awesome.
Name. Cool way to get a name. Cool story.
And then we gave him the middle initial T in case he didn't like the name Lucky. He could just be known as LT.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's what we did.
Well, hold on a second. After Lawrence Taylor?
No, just because LT's got a good ring.
You just think LT sounds good.
Yeah, like my kids don't have middle names. They all have just one letter, initials.
Oh, interesting.
So it's MJ.
Right.
Obvious reasons. Mickey J, right?
Right.
Sonny D was not because of the drink, but it just worked out that way. And Anthony is AI for Iverson.
You named your kid after Allen Iverson?
No, I didn't. His AI... is because it's smooth.
No.
So smooth, like Iverson.
You're denying it.
Yeah.
Kind of like how I deny my son's named after the Jets.
Yeah.
You named your kids after Lawrence Taylor and Allen Iverson. That's what I got.
The initials.
Hold on a second. And Michael Jordan. You named your kids after Allen Iverson, Michael Jordan, and Lawrence Taylor. None of those guys, by the way, played for any of the teams you root for.
Their initials are that. I won't deny that. Their names are.
And you had the thought of those athletes in your mind, clearly.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, so you're confirming what I'm saying. Your kids after famous athletes.
The guy that told us earlier how he rented out the two RVs and the guy comes and caters it and does the cigars and the booze and all that, he sent me a photograph. You would think this is like the nicest like ballroom wedding you've ever been to. This thing is dope.
How big is it?
Evan, it's hard for me to tell you.
Because it's an RV, right?
Yeah.
So how big are we talking here?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
Evan, I'm looking at pictures of this thing.
I'm going to take a look. Hold on.
And you would think that you were at, like, an event space. Hold on. Here, let me get to the first page. Oh, here we go. I apologize. Look at this one. Right?
Wow. That place is huge.
Right? Right?
How is that an RV?
It's an Airstream truck or RV of some kind. He does a taco tequila room, a boozy brunch. They do an escape room, which I love.
That's awesome, man.
Cigar and bourbon, burger and beer.
So it's like bringing the party to you. You never have to get up. It's right in front of your house. You walk out, you go in, and you're like at a party center.
$4,000, 50 people, $2,000 tip. Everybody's good.
That's not bad, man.
Yeah. There you go.
Cost you more money to go to like a Knicks or Rangers game.
What a great way to watch the Super Bowl, though, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I like that, too. All right. Tom's the guy that owns it.
Get it done for next year.
So, hey, Tom, congratulations on a good business. Evan and I are going to hire you for sure.
Yeah.
Evan, pay the man.
I'm in. For the Brooklyn Net NBA final party, I'm in, man.
Yeah? You'd pay for that?
That's not happening. Yeah, so of course I'd pay for that.
What about Eastern Conference Finals Game 7?
You're not invited, but I didn't pay for that.
On a Saturday.
On a Saturday.
Yeah. And you, for whatever reason, can't make it to Milwaukee.
Would I do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd invite only Net fans, but I would do it.
I'd be there, too.
Would you?
I'd go to
that. So you could torture me?
Yeah, I'd go to that.
Yeah, I'm sure you would.
Only if it's on a Friday or Saturday, though.
You would not do it on a Sunday?
No.
Would not do it on a Monday?
School night. Can't.
Yeah.
Can't. Got to get my sleep. 10 o'clock. Got to go to bed. Got to get my sleep for the next day.
That place does look badass, though, man.
Here's real quick. Mark's in Cali. Mark, what do you got, buddy?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Real fast, I got one entertainment thing to tell you. I was fortunate enough coming up. I'm originally from East Orange, New Jersey.
Okay.
So best pizza place for me at the time coming up, high school-wise, was Ray's Pizzeria in the Village. Okay. That's one. The other thing is the setup at SoFi. It's just like being at Giant Stadium when they had the Continental Arena. That is, it's just like that.
Oh, that close to the Forum is what you're saying. I
correct.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So you know how it's set up.
All right. So in theory, like if you're out there and the weather's going to be great, not a big deal to walk from one to the other.
Correct. It won't be a big deal because they're forecasting 90 degrees right now. It's 84 where I'm at. And I'm an hour and a half from the stadium.
I got you.
You know, I'm close to Palm Springs.
Oh, loving it, buddy. How'd you get out there?
Well, the story goes, before we moved, we lived in Belleville.
Okay.
I was almost in one of the episodes of The Sopranos.
Okay.
The one I was in was was the one with Christopher Moltisanti's girlfriend.
With the one when she gets the one when she gets whacked?
Before she got whacked. Remember she was talking to the FBI agent?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's the scene. She was sitting on Washington Street in Belleville at the time of that scene. The reason why I left, I got off of work. I was working 12 to 8, so I had to come. I was like, forget this. This is too long. Because they wanted you to, you know, be a extra. Just walk up and down.
Yeah, I got you. Like, so local guys could just kind of have like their moment on TV, tell their buddies, hey, I was in The Sopranos, right?
Yeah, so I left. But the other one, back in the 80s when I was coming up, I got to be in a room with two super legends and be around them quite a bit. So
who was it?
I'm not going to tell you who they are, but you'll probably get an idea. When she made it big, I was in Carnegie Hall with her.
When she made it big, okay.
In Carnegie Hall with her.
Carnegie Hall. Eddie Murphy was there in the back. Who else was there? Ed Koch. He was the mayor at the time.
Okay.
Miami Vice was the biggest show at the time going on. So one of their people came up to the show that was an extra. She played Tubbs' girlfriend on it at the time. Tracy Reed, her name was.
Got it, okay.
Yeah, but the biggest thing of all, that special entertainer's mother told me because she knew that I had a crush on the super couple's wife, which was Ashton and Simpson.
Oh, so solid as Simpson, a rock.
That's right.
Come
that's
on.
Right. So she said, well, why don't you, they were getting ready to leave. She said, well, why don't you walk out with them? That
okay.
was one of the greatest times of my life.
That's awesome.
With Nick and Val, you couldn't beat it. I mean, you're talking about New York's number one.
Well, you're talking R&B royalty is what you're talking about.
That exactly.
Yeah.
And this is who I was around a lot.
So did you get, just out of curiosity, and I know time is short here for us, but did you have any experience with like Marvin Gaye or Tommy Terrell or Stevie Wonder, Diana Ross, any of those folks?
Not them, but I had experience with Kashif.
Okay.
And he produced and wrote the first album for the person that I'm talking
about. How about Whitney Houston?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. I was waiting.
Yes, I
had to get there eventually, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Yes, you did.
Mark, hang tight. I got to let you go because of time, but love to talk to you some more, pal.
Yeah, but let you know, the weather's going to be good out here. Great win last night. And, quick, buy your wife an X3 with an M-Class for Valentine and birthday.
I'm thinking about it like a $300 vacuum. You got me buying a BMW.
Or get a Dyson.
Hold on. Yeah, the Dyson's the way to go. Hold on one sec, Mark. I'd love to chat with you more, pal. Grab Mark's number, please, Tommy. Sounds like a good dude. Whitney Houston. Come on. Right? What? She's from Jersey.
No, I know. It's...
What's going on over there?
Somebody...
Go ahead.
Somebody recorded us on SNY during the commercial breaks, and it looked like I'm making love to the pizza I'm eating. And it's very embarrassing, I must say.
Like, what do you mean by that?
During the commercial break, SNY will occasionally do like a live shot.
Yeah.
So somebody was recording it, and I guess during the live shot, I was eating a slice of pizza, and it's just, I don't know, it's embarrassing.
It's not a good look?
I'm like eating it, and then it ends with me shaking my head in pure enjoyment. And I appreciate, the guy DM'd it to me, so he didn't put it out publicly, but I do feel like I owe it to you.
Am I in there?
No, it's just me eating a pizza. It's just very embarrassing.
I don't think that's right. I don't think SNY should do that. I think you should have a heads up if you're going to be on camera.
It looks like I'm sniffing my fingers. I got to show. Look, I could just let this die and never show it to you, but I kind of have to show it to you.
During the break, I'll come check it out.
What is this?
During the break, okay?
I just saw it.
They always give me a heads up to let us know when we're going to be
on. What the hell was my heads up?
I thought it was just perfect to film you.
Oh, okay.
Not good. Not good. Not good. 877.
So I want to thank G-Arc No Track who DM'd me this. Thank you, G-Arc. Wait a second. Isn't that you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I got tweeted by G-Arc Notrack.
There's no way G-Arc Notrack tweeted you.
Okay.
There's no way.
I'm watching a video sent from whom then?
There's no way.
G-Arc Notrack sent me the video.
That's got to be a different G-Arc Notrack.
I'm just saying.
Got to be.
And it's a good job by G-Arc. He didn't put it out publicly. He DM'd it to me almost like a threat. Almost like a, look what I got on you.
Yeah.
But I embrace it.
There's no way that came from G-Arc Notrack.
I'm telling you.
I'm telling you it's a fact that didn't come from G-Arc Notrack.
The guy's Twitter account is G-Arc Notrack Vaxxed.
Oh, I see. Vaxxed. He added something to it.
Oh, he added something to it. Oh, okay.
He added something to it. Yeah. I can speak for G-Arc. He didn't send it.
No, he didn't. Okay.
No. More of your calls coming up. More Super Bowl predictions.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
And I know we have another surprise celebrity Super Bowl picker coming up, Evan. Where are we at right now?
Overall,
yeah.
Well, I made a whole list of every celebrity we've had on over the last 3 days. Remember, it started with Lenny Dykstra. He picked the Rams, and he also bought a yacht, even though he didn't like boats. Cody Decker picked the Rams. Pat Monahan picked the Bengals. Jewel picked the Rams. Pete Wentz picked the Rams because he's a fraud. Willie Colon picked the Bengals because he fell in love with Joe Burrow. Chelsea Ebner, wife of Nate, picked the Bengals because they're from Ohio. Johnny Franco picked the Bengals because, hey, my career started in Cincinnati. Ava Louise picked the Cleveland Bengals because Joe Burrow is sexy.
And obviously, she said.
That's what she said, the Cleveland Bengals, because yeah. Joe Burrow's hot.
Yeah.
And Aaron Boone picked the Bengals 24-20, and Kevin Connolly picked the Rams 24-21.
And that brings us to our next celebrity guest, Super Bowl prognosticator. He is the former governor of the state of New Jersey and my best pal, Governor Chris Christie. Chris, how you been, buddy?
Craigie, I've been great. How are you?
Doing fantastic, and not as busy as you these days, but still doing quite well. Thank you.
It has been a busy time here in New Jersey, but we're bearing up just fine, and I love seeing the way the Nets are performing, so my life is going great.
I can't argue. They've lost 10 in a row, and they suck.
They have lost 10 in a row. There's no doubt about that. Hey,
well, when you trade for someone like James Harden, you get what you deserve.
You're right. I can't argue with that. He is a loser. We traded for a loser. We take a little bit of a loss. We hope we can move on. But James Harden gets what he deserves. And you know what he got, Governor? He got Philadelphia. So they belong perfectly together.
Well, you know my feelings there, Evan. This is one of those areas where you and I agree wholeheartedly.
That's right.
I think it's the only place that you guys agree wholeheartedly on. That's for sure. Hey, as a diehard Dallas Cowboy fan, I know there are rumors that Jerry Jones would have pulled the trigger on getting Jim Harbaugh, which obviously didn't happen. Harbaugh goes back to Michigan. Were you surprised he didn't kick those tires at the end of the day?
I'm really not. I think he really likes the coaching staff he has put together there, and he's going to give them another try. Now, if they perform similarly, meaning the team, perform similarly next year to the way they perform this year or worse, then, you know, nobody should be getting, a mortgage in Dallas from the coaching staff. But I think he wants to give him one more shot. I think he feels like 2020 was a COVID year and not really a fair way to evaluate McCarthy, and that they won 12 games in the regular season. But let me tell you this, they start leading the league in penalties the first few weeks next year. Mike McCarthy better, start getting the luggage out.
Hot seat. He is the hottest. He's on the hottest seat of all
hottest
seats.
Hottest of hot seats.
What's amazing about that to me is that Jerry Jones has this reputation of being kind of knee-jerky, and it's not well-deserved because, to his credit, he has been amazingly patient with head coaches.
Look how patient he was with Jason Garrett.
It's but it goes against what most people think of him.
Yeah.
Well, here's what people don't understand about him. When he hires somebody like that, it is like they become a member of the Jones family. And that's both a positive and a negative. You know, the positive is that he really doesn't act in a knee-jerk way. He gives people the benefit of the doubt. He believes in the best of the people who he hires. And he wants to give them every chance to succeed. The downside is, sometimes he is slower to recognize failure than others might be, or shortcomings. And so I will tell you, I saw him interact with Jason Garrett over the years. He loves Jason Garrett. And Jason Garrett, like Tony Romo, is like a son to him. And he finds it difficult, I think, at times to separate the personal and the professional.
Yeah, I respect that. He's loyal.
He is. He's a very, very loyal guy. And whether you're up or whether you're down, if you're Jerry's friend, you're Jerry's friend.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I, as you know, my life experience, I respect that a great deal because you're either a friend or you're not a friend. So
that's right.
That brings us now to Super Bowl Sunday. Oh, before I get to Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, when are you announcing you're running for president, Governor? Are you going to make that official yet?
No.
Evan.
Waiting until after the midterms, getting the lay of the land, see where the polling numbers are. What are we basing it on?
Evan, listen, when it comes to this topic, go back and review your 2006 Mets scorecard.
No, actually, Governor, I remember you came on with Joe and I years ago. It was right after, like, the 16 election. And I said, hey, just a wild guess. Who do you think is going to be the Democratic nominee in 2020? Do you remember what your answer was? And do you remember what my answer was by chance?
I don't.
No, I'm going to be honest. So I said Kamala Harris. And you said Joe Biden. So
thank you.
Yeah. You nailed it. I was half right, though, right? I mean, for the vice president.
All right.
Yeah, very half. Very half. And I'm going to leave it at that or I'm going to get myself in trouble. I will be a part of the cancel culture if I say anything more than that.
Exactly.
We don't need that.
And listen, and your New York Mets, hopefully they'll play baseball this year, and your New York Mets may have actually a chance to be better than the Yankees for the first time in your lifetime.
Listen, Craigie, we don't want to be saying anything prematurely here, but let's just say this.
Yeah.
Our New York Mets are far from done. I'm just going to say
that. You got me very excited. You got me very, when you made that statement. Say it again.
No, he's not saying
it again. We're far from done. Is that
all
what
right,
you said?
That should keep Met fans happy for the next couple weeks. All right.
No, that's the Mets want to put a winner on the field. And I think that our owner has shown that he's willing to step up and do what needs to be done. And that's not just, by the way, on the major league roster. He is doing things up and down the organization to make us a better organization to do what he's promised he was going to do, was try to establish an organization that can have sustainable success.
Hey, and not only that, the Old Timers Day thing is freaking awesome. And it's long overdue, and we greatly appreciate
that. Chris, obviously, you go back farther than both of us with your Met fandom. Is there, obviously, a living Met that you're most eager to see at Old Timers Day?
Oh, wow. If they're living Met, I'm most
eager to see. Because I know Seaver was your childhood hero, so I obviously would have been him. But
it would have been Tom Seaver. But I will say, it's as old as this makes me feel, I really am anxious to see some of the 86 guys out there. It's 35 years since they were all together and won the World
Series.
That's
crazy, 35
years. It's 35 years. It's incredible. But I love to see the 86 guys. You know, I mean, see them go out there and as old timers, it's going to make me feel like an old timer. But nonetheless, any of the 86 guys, I think, would be great to see. And I'm looking forward to. And really, the biggest day I'm looking forward to in next season, beside any potential postseason play, is the July 9th, I believe, when we're retiring Keith Hernandez's jersey.
Yeah, you support that retiring, right?
110%. It's long overdue. He was the guy who changed the culture of the New York Mets and made them winners. And they would not have won anything if it hadn't been for Keith Hernandez.
Do you think ultimately, not that you have these conversations, but Gary Carter, Doc, Strawberry, you think a good portion of the 86 team gets retired or no?
I'm really not sure. Look, I think that there's a whole bunch of factors that go in to those decisions. I think that the decision that Steve made on Hernandez was the right one, because you talk to anybody on that 86 team, and with no disrespect to Gary Carter at all, and you ask them who was the leader of the New York Mets in those years, and every one of them to a man we'll say it was Keith Hernandez.
Well, Gary was also the final piece in a lot of ways, and Keith was that first piece that changed everything. We all heard the legendary stories of him crying in the shower, the stems are awful, and then not only does his attitude change, but then the kids come up and it combines and becomes the greatness that we saw in 86.
No, there's no doubt, Evan, and I think, you know, you look at what Keith did for that organization. Now, look, Carter was the final piece of the puzzle, along with Bobby Ojeda, and I think those two were the final two pieces to a world championship, one in 85 and one in 86. But, you know, in the end, Carter was kind of a rah-rah guy, and all the rest. Keith Hernandez was the guy. Let's remember, Keith was smoking cigarettes on the bench.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he would hide smoking butts on the bench. He'd admit going back to Davey's office and drinking buds. I mean, this was the guy who the other players looked at and said, he is so cool and such a winner. We want to be him. We want to follow him. And, you know, and there's a lot of Keith Hernandez memories I have, but the one I will always remember is that hit off of Bruce Hurst in Game 7 of the World Series. Without that Keith Hernandez single to left center field, we may not have won that World Series. And that, to me, is the signature Keith Hernandez moment of his career as a Met.
Well, you can't say he's not a real fan, that's for sure. Because I'm trying to remember that hit right now, and I watched it. All right, here we go. Super Bowl 56, Rams and Bengals. You know the dealio. Who do you like and why?
I like the Cincinnati Bengals, Craig and Evan, 23-20.
Another lower scoring close game.
Almost the exact same final score as Boone.
Aaron Boone said 24-20 Bengals.
Governor's got 23-20
Now,
Bengals.
He admittedly, though, flip-flopped. He was on the Rams all week, and then today switched to the Cincinnati Bengals side. It sounds to me like you've been on the Bengals all week.
After I saw what the Bengals did to the Chiefs, I believe in magic carpet rides. I believe there's times when a team just is destined to win, and I would have never thought it was the Cincinnati Bengals. But after watching them come back from 21-3 in Kansas City against Mahomes, I just think right now Joe Burrow has his team believing they can do anything.
Now,
and when that happens, and I like Burrow better than Stafford. I think Burrow right now is a better quarterback than Stafford. And in the end, I think Burrow will be the guy who will make the big play. And I think the Bengals have the better kicker. And I think this could come down to a late field goal. And let me tell you something. That kicker, you know, looks like he's got complete ice water in his
Evan
face.
Evan McPherson's got
he's
blood.
A killer.
Yeah, it's awesome to see,
ice
too.
In the
and
veins.
It's a legit advantage. There's no doubt about that. So before I let you go, Aaron Boone was upset that I did not invite him over to my place to watch the Super Bowl. His whole family's out of town. He's there with his mother-in-law. And it was kind of like a guilt invitation now and blah, blah, blah. I did invite you. So I need to ask, because, you know, I got the order coming in. I got everything planned out appropriately. Are you guys coming over or not coming over?
Well, it's me and Mary Pat. That's
perfect.
It. Because all the kids are out. You know, they're all scattered across the United States at college, and my oldest daughter is at the Super Bowl.
Awesome.
Working. And my older son is down in the Dominican Republic. So, you know, it would just be me and Mary Pat. So if that's okay, then, you know, we're in.
They're in. Well,
they're in.
I'll see you at 5 o'clock in my place then, 100%.
Is Boone coming too, though, Craig?
Don't you worry about Aaron Boone, all right? Chris Christie's coming. He's a real friend.
Well, right. Let me say this. If Aaron Boone shows up,
yeah,
we'll be civil to each other, despite the whole Met Yankee thing. But you got, Craig, to give me a heads up
yeah.
before I come
okay.
as to whether Boone is really going to be there or not. Because if he is, I will be decked out in Met Dawn.
Yeah.
You know what you got to tell Aaron at one point? Say, enjoy Aaron Judge this year, Aaron, because he's coming to Queens next year, big boy.
You know, I don't want to be talking smack to Aaron Boone. I think the way we do it, Evan,
yeah.
is the quiet, confident way.
Okay.
We just are bedecked, my wife and I.
Head to toe in Met gear.
That's how you do
orange
it.
And blue.
You know what you do?
Just walk in, say hello, Mr. Boone.
We did this, you know, as you know, we did this comedy event with Pete Alonso a couple weeks ago at Gotham in the city here, okay?
So Alonso was a comedy event.
Yeah, he went on stage.
Dude, he was awesome doing stand-up, I thought.
He told a story about Tim Tebow that made a lot of people laugh. It was pretty good.
Yes.
But as you would expect, you know, diehard Met fans came to the meet and greet and took a picture, right?
Yep.
This one guy, older gentleman, I would say maybe 65 years old, head-to-toe Met gear, and he had LED screens on his body.
That's Pin Man, bro.
Was that Pin Man?
That's Pin Man.
Oh, so Pin Man was there.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's what you need to wear to my house if Boone shows up.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I do have my own now new Mets black jersey.
Oh.
Really?
How about that?
I didn't take you as a black jersey kind of guy. I took you as a Howie Rose. I don't like the black jerseys. I'm staying loyal to the pinstripes, but I respect that.
I like the pinstripes, but I also like the black. I got no problem with the black.
Oh, fair enough.
And I got a black jersey when the night they were debuted at Citi Field this past year, and got it with my number 55 on there. And that may be what we decide to go with, Craig.
That's
I
not
got
bad.
A number of options, as you might imagine.
I think you just come as comfortable as possible. If you want to rock sweats, wear them.
I got some that I might be able to get. I got some Mets sweats.
Nice. Mets sweats. You know why it's number 55, right, Evan?
I am going to guess that he was the 55th governor in the history of the state of New Jersey.
There you go.
Thank you.
Look at Evan. Let me tell you something, Evan. You've grown up to be a very bright young man.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, it's funny. We did that. You know, we saw that story earlier this week about, I forget, the football player who was asked the question, you know, living or dead, what three people would you want to have dinner with? And sadly, unfortunately, he said Hitler, among other people. Hitler, Michael Jackson, his grandfather. So, yeah, we asked the question here, and it's funny, Chris. The only guy that Evan consistently put in the three that he would want to eat with was Abraham Lincoln, his favorite of all the presidents.
That's right.
Yeah.
Only
well,
guy.
What are you asking me?
He kept changing and changing and changing.
Because he knows, like I know, like most of us know, he is the guy we want to have.
Do you have a favorite historical president? Or
is
no?
it Washington? I could see Washington a little bit above Lincoln. It's between the two of them. Is that fair to guess?
Yeah, look, I would say the president I would most like to have dinner with is Washington, because I'd love to ask him, like, it's a blank piece of paper. How did you know where to start?
Right.
Like, what were you thinking about when you took your hand off the Bible the first time? Brand new country. You're its unquestioned leader. That would be one question. Like, where did you start?
Okay.
Everybody else had the Washington template to follow.
Right.
But he walked in there with a blank piece of paper.
And he also walked away from power.
Well, that was going to be my second question.
Okay.
Was
sorry.
How did you decide that 8 years was enough?
Right.
Because if you think about it, George Washington has established what the norm is, in fact, what the law is, not only in the country.
Until FDR, you know what, it all over it. But outside of that, everyone followed it to a T.
Everyone followed it, and most governors in the country are restricted to two terms.
Right.
And so it's not only been the what's happened in the presidency by custom and then ultimately by constitutional law, but in states all over most of the states of the country restrict their governors to two terms. How did Washington decide 8 years was enough, that this is the right time to walk away? The guy I'd most like to have dinner with is Washington, because I think that there's more unanswered questions about George Washington in my mind than there are unanswered questions about Lincoln. I think there's been so much written about Lincoln and those 4 years. I'd love to just get at Washington and find out what was going through his head.
There you go.
That would be like something.
All right, pal. I'll call you on the way home, and I'll see you guys Sunday at 5 o'clock.
We're looking forward to it. And as always, Evan, LGM.
Damn right.
You guys LGM. Do that LGM.
That's right.
Forget about the Nets now, Evan. It's over. The season is over.
Not burying them yet.
Just forget about it. Don't let it, because you're going to get aggravated and upset.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what the problem is? So my coping mechanism when I get upset about one of my teams is to think about the next season. So after the Nets' 10th straight loss, I'm like, all right, let me just ponder about the Mets. And then I think about Rob Manfred and the lockout. So how can
Don't
I get
think about that?
How
Don't
can I not? That. How can
you
I not?
You can't think about it. You know why? Because it's all theater. It's all theater. They will come to an agreement because they know that they cannot afford to lose regular season games. And Manfred all but said that.
He said it, but now they got to back it up. On March 31st, I want to be in Citi Field. You want to be in Citi Field. And there needs to be a baseball game going on. And it better happen.
I believe it will happen. And I believe that we'll be there, Evan. Of course, I won't be with you.
No.
Because you'll be sitting wherever it is you sit, keeping your scorebook.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
So I don't want to interrupt that, for God's sake.
No, of course not. Thank you.
I'm not. But we're both going to be standing there watching Jacob DeGrom pick up the ball.
Yes.
And throw the first pitch of what could be. I don't want to make any predictions. But what could be a historic Mets season.
And by the way, based on something you said earlier, I am also expecting Chris Bryant to hit a three-run home run in that game, if you know what I mean.
I am not making any predictions, Evan, regarding personnel.
Okay.
I'll just say
now,
this.
I'll just add this to that.
I believe there's more to do.
More to do! I will be at the game with you, Chris, but I'll be eating a Shake Shack burger and not watching Jacob DeGrom pick up that ball.
I understand. Look, I know where you'll be. You'll be back by where all the food is, you know, stuffing your face and pretending that day to be a Mets fan. You're going to go to Yankee Stadium where you'll be pretending to be a Yankees fan. Yeah. We know your gig.
Well, you figured me out after all these years.
Well,
fair
look,
enough.
As a former backup third baseman for the Phillies,
yes,
you know, that's what you that's what you're all about.
I'll call you in 45 minutes on my way home, all right?
Well, I wait with bated breath.
Please do, and answer the phone when I call you, and I'll see you Sunday regardless.
You got it, Craig.
All right, be good, pal. There you go. Chris Christie, former governor of New Jersey. All right, so there you go. Another Bengal pick,
so
Evan.
So we have talked to 12 celebrities over the last 3 days.
Not bad, pretty good.
Do you want to hear the scoreboard right now?
Why don't you give it to us after, okay?
Okay, I will give you the scoreboard of all the celebrities we've talked to. Who are they picking in this big game?
Here's the guy that wants to challenge me to a silly trivia question, which I never lose. Chris, what do you got, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Craig?
What's going on, kiddo?
Okay, first, Craig and...
Evan.
Evan, yes.
Whatever his name is.
I just want to say thank you. We've been driving in the city for our past 5 years for our mother. She passed away about 2 weeks ago.
Sorry to hear that.
She loved you guys.
Thank you.
So, I'm hearing my brother. The guy didn't even know his answer. Name me.
Yep.
If you can, the four numbers in Michael Jordan's professional career that he has worn.
See, it's a trick question. And as you know,
It's not a trick question. He only wore four numbers
I know.
In his professional career.
And two
career.
Of them are obvious, right?
Well, so let me walk people through.
Two are obvious.
I don't want to get
three are kind of obvious.
Yes, three are obvious, yes. I agree.
Not to everybody.
Yes.
Like 23.
I don't want you Googling this.
By the way.
The guy who answered the phone.
I know the answer. It doesn't appear he's Googling it.
I'm not Googling, and those guys aren't talking about it. I'll walk you through it.
And
real
I
quick.
Think he's going to know the answer.
So obviously everybody knows 23. That's the easy one. No. Jordan comes back from the first break. He rocks out the 45. They lose to the Orlando Magic. Oh, my God. What are we doing? Take the 23 down from the rafters, and let's get serious. His name is Michael Jordan. He wears the number 23. Now, what a lot of people forget is that he wore a different number in the Olympics.
Right.
And that's one that usually stumps people.
No, that's the easy one.
But that's the number nine.
Okay. That's easy.
The one that nobody ever gets.
Three.
Yes, which those three I think are easy.
I agree.
Here's the one nobody gets. Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls are playing the Orlando Magic.
You okay? Mean that? That's impressive.
And somebody goes
how
into the locker room. Because I love
Craig,
Michael Jordan.
How do you know this? God damn it.
Okay, I'll finish the story. Here we go. Someone goes into the locker room and steals Michael Jordan's jersey before the game. There's a panic. We don't have the jersey. And I'm not making this up. They scoured the arena, Evan, to see if they could find a fan wearing the Bulls Road jerseys and obviously Jordan's number. They found a couple, but they weren't the right size. They
of course not. It's Michael Jordan.
But this is what they were willing to do.
Yes. No, I've heard the story.
They
then
went to like the team store because you never know. Maybe they're selling the Bulls because they were so popular. Not for sale. So they had to give Michael a jersey for that one game that he could wear. And it wasn't the number 23, it was the number 12. And nobody ever gets that question right because it's a trick question.
It's a trick question, but it's known.
Is it?
Yeah, I knew the answer.
You did?
Yeah. I've heard the story.
12?
Yes.
It was in the documentary.
Yeah, it was in the documentary. It's been
see
written about. Like 23 and 45, everyone knows.
That's
the Olympics, most people know, not everybody. And that story has become a legendary story.
Got it.
And I hate to nitpick it, but he said his professional career. Are we counting the Olympics as professional?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And they were professional athletes in the Olympics.
Yeah. They got paid?
No, but he was a professional at the time.
I understand that.
They actually did get paid.
Okay.
Did they get paid? How much?
The Dream Team?
Yeah.
Dream Team got paid. They had a sponsorship.
Nah, that's different.
Remember how we had a cover? Remember he covered was it Reebok or Adidas
logo? No, but isn't that sort of different?
Are you saying were they paid by the Olympic Committee? I don't know. No, they weren't.
No.
They're not. But I think we're parsing the term professional. In Michael Jordan's basketball career,
right,
at the highest levels, he really wore two numbers, sort of a third, and yes, on this rare, weird occasion, he wore a fourth.
You know,
but people know that answer.
You know,
our last
caller
shouldn't be that stunned.
You know what's so sad to me?
Not to put you down.
I just Googled, was the Dream Team paid?
Right.
Because I don't know if they were or not. I assume you guys are right. They weren't. Fair enough, okay? You know what the first thing that comes up?
I'm afraid to know.
How did O.J. Simpson pay for the Dream Team? Because his lawyers referred to
that's the first
as
thing
the Dream Team.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. The lawyers, and I do remember them being called that, but still.
Evan, it's everything that comes up. The Olympic Dream Team isn't on the top three pages.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm doing the same thing.
That's unbelievable to me. Peace out, SNY. Have a good weekend. Thank you, Grubba.
By the way, Karl Malone said the original Dream Teamers, which included Malone, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, split more than $1 million between them.
So they did get paid. Okay.
So they did get paid. Not a lot, but
so
they did get paid.
So you figure they got paid about $100K each, right?
Yeah, do you want to know how much the Dream Team for O.J. Simpson cost? Because I got that answer.
$3 million.
That was somewhere between $3 and $6 million, yes.
They claim that if they were charging O.J. what their rates were, it was $50,000 a day to represent him.
Right.
I think they did a lump sum deal, I think. Because the story was he did a bunch of memorabilia signings to pay for the
right,
legal
fee. Well, it's a good little out when you're trying to raise money and you're a sports celebrity.
You're not a collector, but would you want to have an O.J. Simpson autographed something?
If I was a collector, yeah.
You're not
collecting
would
something.
Would you take something from the crime scene autographed?
No, that's a little different. No. Would you want it?
I wouldn't do that, no.
You would want one of the gloves autographed?
No.
I'm just asking.
That's vile and disgusting, actually.
I'm just asking.
You're a sick man, Craig.
How does that make me sick?
You were raised incorrectly.
I didn't say I wanted it. I just wondered if you animals wanted it.
It's vile.
That's all. That's a fair question to ask.
We answered it. No, and you're vile.
Now, it's not on the same level, but wasn't the Jeep sold? I mean,
Bronco. Sure it was.
I think it was.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. So,
but would you want it?
Me personally? No. I have no interest in it.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want Jack the Ripper's knife.
No, but O.J. Simpson autographed football from his playing days. He's a Hall of Fame player. It's very different.
Dude, my former sister-in-law, it's a tough one to tell, but I'm going to tell it, grew up when she was a kid before her family moved. They lived on the same street as a family whose last name was Dahmer. Once upon a time, the Dahmers were having a garage sale. They needed a mattress. The Dahmers were selling a mattress. So they bought the mattress. They put the mattress in their house. My sister-in-law slept on the mattress as a child. The Dahmers had a son.
Yeah.
His name was Jeff.
Do they know it was his bed or?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
God, that is just.
Imagine finding out after the fact that you slept on Jeffrey Dahmer's bed for the first 8 years of your life.
Yeah, that's
a tough.
That wouldn't be ideal.
That's a tough little pill to swallow.
Not
right
an ideal situation.
Mom and Dad, didn't you know whose house you was having the garage sale?
Deal's a deal, honey.
It was such a great offer.
It was only $1,
couldn't
but don't, didn't you figure it out?
Yeah.
That's a true story. That's crazy. Nice to meet you. Welcome to the family.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
You know what that means? For the final time this year, three guys whose picks are no better than yours try to put a capper on the season. Remember, if you are wagering, have a plan. Stick to that plan. If you lose, do not chase the loss with other bad decisions. Never borrow money to wager. And make sure it's always fun. Where are you guys at record-wise, and who's in the lead? Whoever's in the lead goes last.
If I'm not mistaken, in the postseason, because we already did the regular season stuff, I kicked their asses. In the postseason, I am 6-5.
Tell your friends.
I think Big Mac is 6-5.
I thought I was, in the meeting I said we were tied. I thought I was a game up and you two were tied. But
No,
we are tied.
No.
Maybe we are tied.
I am 6-5.
Okay.
Big Mac is 6-5, and I think Lugie is 7-4. Am I right about that?
No, you're wrong.
Yeah. Okay, you're definitely wrong about
then just
that.
Tell me the record.
He's not in the lead. He's definitely behind us.
Okay, so I'm 6 right? and 5.
We're tied. Are we all tied?
Yeah, well, how about we're all tied at 3? Why not?
Okay.
You're all tied.
We're all
where,
tied.
Where to keep records of things? I got my record. Yeah. I expected these jackets.
No, you write it down.
Big Mac's in the lead.
I think I'm in the lead.
Yes.
I think I'm a game up.
I am a game down a bit.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Not that anyone cares. I'm pretty sure I'm a game up, and you two are tied for second. Okay. With only a game
behind. The picks are brought to you by Sloman's Home Security. Call 1-800-ALARM-E by Labor's Local 731 Field of Power, by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Visit samwellpain.com and by covers.com. Sports bettors, get ready for the big game in L.A. at covers.com. Winning starts here.
Boring.
So since you're in the lead, Big Mac, you go first, right?
Oh, I thought I was just told to go last. All right, we'll go first. All right,
so I'm confused. Who goes
he goes last. That's,
I mean, what is going on here?
We don't even know who's first.
Go ahead, Louis.
Tommy, go ahead.
Who cares?
Oh, I'll go first. Okay. All right. Let's start. I think this is going to be a field goal game either way. So I'm getting 4 with the Bengals. I'm going to scoop that. As far as the total goes right now, it sits at 48.5. Look, it's a Super Bowl. We all want points. We want to root for touchdowns. But I'm going to lean towards the under here. I think it's going to be a 24-21 type game. So give me the under on the total. And as far as my props, I'm going to take Joe Burrow rushing yards over 10.5. I think he had 25 last week. He's going to be running for his life a lot in this game. I think the Bengals will keep it close, but they're still not going to be able to protect Joe throughout the game. So he's going to be looking to run. So give me the over on his rushing yards, 10.5. Under on the total, 48.5. And the Bengals, +4.
Holla! It was weird. Earlier in the show, we were arguing the Super Bowl.
Horrendous!
I think the Rams are going to win. I don't think they're going to blow them out the way Craig suggested. I think this is a close game late. I think this is everything we're looking for. Ball's in Joe Burrow's hands. Final minute of the game. Down by 5. Chance to beat him. And he throws a late pick and they lose. A part of why I've leaned towards the Rams over the last 24 hours is simply the experience. The fact they've been there. And I've seen Sean McVay come up small in big spots. I saw him come up small 2 weeks ago in the NFC title game. I thought he almost blew the game.
Ponderous.
The Rams obviously almost blew the game a week earlier against Tampa. And the Super Bowl against the Patriots, it was almost like, ooh, I got to meet Bill Belichick.
That was very
this
smooth.
This is his moment. This is their moment. For a lot of guys on this team, including the quarterback, this may be their only and last shot.
Yeah, boy!
I think they're going to win this game, and I'll lay the points. We haven't seen, I found this interesting. Maybe you don't, I'm going to tell you anyway. Tell your friends if you're interested. No team has covered a bigger spread than 4 in the Super Bowl since the Colts beat the Bears in 06. So we haven't seen a team cover 4 as a favorite in a very long time. I think that trend ends here. I'm going to take the under. I think it's going to be a very low-scoring game. The over-under is at 48.5. I'll take the under. We actually have a streak 3 straight years where the under is hitting the Super Bowl. And I'm going to take the over on Evan McPherson. Because even though it's going to be a low-scoring game, we're going to see a lot of field goals in this game. He kicks 2 field goals. He kicks a couple of extra points. The number is 7.5. I'll take the over on Evan McPherson. So the Rams lay in the 4, the under on 48.5, and an over on Evan McPherson at 7.5. Big Mac, take it away.
Yeah, I've been on the Bengals the second they beat Kansas City. And the number came out at 4.5. I was all over it then. The half a point hasn't deterred me.
Blah, blah, blah.
I just think that the Rams have all the pressure on them. It's in their city. They've put together this super team with trades and free agencies, and they brought in the veteran quarterback with the background. They have to win this game. The coach has been there, has had bad 2 weeks. We've seen how they reacted to pressure in both against the Bucs and against the Niners. I don't like the way they play under pressure. I love the way the Cleveland has Cleveland. You got me saying the Cleveland Bengals.
Loser!
The Cincinnati Bengals. I like the way they play under pressure. I think they're going to win this game outright. I wouldn't even play the 4.5 if I'm gonna. I think the only team that wins big is the Rams, so I'm gonna bet the money line on this game. And then for my prop, and that's why I'm gonna explain that, because that's why I'm taking the under. I think Mixon is going to go over 60.5 yards, because we talk about the pass rush. How do you avoid the pass rush? You run at it. So I think Mixon, I think this game is going to hit the under, because I think the Bengals are going to come out and try and run the football, set the tone, keep the Rams in this offense off the field. I think they're going to try and run at this pass rush and eliminate the idea of them just pinning their ears back and getting after Burrow.
Pathetic.
They can't allow another 9-sack game, so I think they're going to try and run the ball. So it's going to be the under at 48.5 and give me Mixon over 60.5.
Thank you.
Is that it?
That's it.
Well, you're out of breath.
What's up? You seem like you're racing.
Speed talking there.
Well, right? Yeah, I mean, if you knew where we were with spots, and I got to do this again at 6:30, and then again at 2 o'clock in the morning. So, yeah, I'm trying to just get through it. I apologize.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.